I do think allowing yourself time to rebuild and grow back is going to be really important, which will influence goal setting, right? What you're able to add on as you reengage in your sport. I think the other thing is acceptance, that fear, doubt, worry, questioning, wondering, overanalyzing, probably not if, but when it will show up.
Welcome to the Athlete's Compass podcast. Each week, renowned sports scientist and founder of Athletica AI, Dr. Paul Larson, athlete, coach, and sports scientist Mariana Rakai, and coach and cyclist Paul Warlowski discuss training, racing, and improving your health and fitness. Get ready for your journey to peak performance. Hello and welcome to the Athlete's Compass podcast, where we navigate training, fitness, and health for everyday athletes. Have you ever woken up and dreaded the thought of training, not just because you're tired, not because your legs are sore, but because something inside just quit? You're not alone. Today, we get to talk about burnout with Dr. Ali or Alexandra Wagner. Dr. Wagner is a licensed psychologist specializing in sport and performance psychology based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A former four-sport athlete and collegiate soccer player, she now helps athletes of all levels, from weekend warriors to elite competitors, build mental resilience, prevent burnout, and reconnect with their joy of sport. As a marathoner and half marathoner herself, she brings both clinical experience and personal experience to helping athletes sustain their passion for the long haul. So first of all, Ali, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how do you define burnout, athlete burnout, or just being tired or in a training slump?
Yeah, great question. And I think just understanding that for each person might look a little bit different is first and foremost. But I do think those three concepts are different. So let me explain. So when I think about like fatigue, we all know what that physically feels like and mentally feels like. Think of that as like you've had a really hard training load, or it's been you've exerted yourself mentally, you've really focused all day long. Usually when I think about like fatigue, a night's rest, a little backing off maybe the next day might be kind of the cure for that, right? That's typical fatigue that we have, whether that's emotionally, mentally, or physically. I think about a slump is kind of, we all have them, especially in endurance sports, where we're going to have like the roller coaster up and downs and kind of riding that wave that is going to happen. But the key with slumps is our motivation typically is still intact, right? Our kind of enjoyment of the sport. Now, we may not particularly like an outcome that happens, but usually we're able to kind of recover from that with the slumps. And then I think when we talk about burnout, I see that as more chronic, right? Think of it's like a slow leak. Right? It's not the water gushing. It's simply the slow leak that probably will do the most damage to your home if you have ever had water damage. And so I think when burnout happens, you will see mental and physical exhaustion. And I think exhaustion is different than fatigue. Like you are depleted despite maybe efforts to like refuel in whatever sense that means. I think your accomplishment, how we're like defining that, that also will change when we're burned out, right? We don't really get the same, in, I guess, sense of like pride in what we did if we're not burned out. And then lastly, I would say, right, we just kind of almost have like an apathy, like we stop caring as much, right? Kind of like we start to go through the motions people will talk about.
Oh, I'm going to jump right in here because I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh yeah, check, 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 check. And then I'm thinking, oh, it's almost like physical overtraining. So first, fatigue, we know physical fatigue is daily. And we need to back off and recover, just like you said, with the fatigue, mental fatigue, physical fatigue. And then you were talking about slump and riding that wave. And that's like, to me, feels like what we want to achieve at certain points of our training. Physically, we want to overreach, but we know then we have to back off and then recover and let our body and mind recover from it. And then burnout really kind of like reminds me of overtraining. You're just like not feeling it. Your head is in the cloud, like dark cloud, not the happy cloud, a dark cloud. And nothing you do is kind of enough or good enough, or you don't feel like celebrating. And I think like after my last Ironman, I was completely like burned out, but I didn't understand it that time. But now looking back, I can recognize those signs.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll all probably experience all of them at some point. We just hope we stay away from that burned out component.
Yeah.
Ellie, could you be a little more, give some examples? You talked about apathy and the lack of pride. What are some of the early warning signs that you might get if you are heading towards burnout before an athlete even realizes it?
Yeah, they've actually done quite a bit of research on this. And one of the biggest warning signs is mood shifts, which we all experience all different types of ups and downs with emotions daily. But think about it as almost like your check engine light like comes on, right? That's going to be your mood versus like your engine failure. That's when we're in burnout, right? And so I think for each of us starting to recognize individually what those warning signs might be. And this could be little things like people will talk about like irritability. It'll be just almost like annoyance. And that could be with other people on the road you're running with. This could be the weather, right? Like these small, probably inconveniences. Now, maybe dig a little deeper, right? It could be things like, I think, loss of just enthusiasm for maybe things that we used to enjoy about our training runs or our lifts. Now they just become a little bit more flat, right? Or start to become like a chore to do. Oh, I have to run today. God, I have to get these miles in, right? And we start to hear a lot of I have to's versus like the I get to's. And then I think when we do have a tough training experience, we start to notice the recovery of it takes a little bit longer. And right, like our motivation to get back at it is a little bit stunted.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Check, check, check again.
So mood, you know, the code word with my wife is, hey, grumpy. That's what I tell her to say to me, you know, if she starts noticing it. Just, she doesn't need to say anything, you know, more than that. Just, hey, grumpy. Then it's like, oh, okay, I'm, you know, checking myself. But mood shifts, loss of enthusiasm, slower recovery, those are all mood shifts that can be a warning sign.
Absolutely. And I think too, one of the things, I don't know, I mean, sometimes, right, everybody, when they're participating in any endurance sport, especially if it's a longer run or training, our mind can wander, right? Mm. That's normal. That's human. But sometimes when they start to look at what attention to details, attention to our experience, people kind of almost zone out and not in the be in the flow state of mind. It's more, right, you're like, what did I just do? Right. Or on the flip side, we get very hyper fixated on a particular thing. And obsessed. If we talk more about like burnout, we'll talk about like pain sensitivity and kind of hyper focusing on certain pain signals or experiences that maybe we wouldn't maybe want to. But those can all be kind of like little bulbs flashing to say something's off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Throw my my geek out hat on, Ellie, and it's it reminds me of the in mental physiology the default mode network. Have you heard about that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, because that's the monkey mind ultimately, right? And if it's like, if your brain is like spinning around in the old default mode network, and you just, yeah, you can't focus on what you're doing, and you're distracted ultimately, and you're not not paying attention ultimately in terms of what others are around you are saying to you. These are big indicators. And it's almost like if you're having problems with your default mode network, I know it's associated with things like depression and all of kind of the symptoms that you've described already in the podcast here. So yeah, like it's, how do you, I mean, if you have all of that, what is your, where do you start in terms of making progress back to a normal state where we want to get to alleviate this?
Yeah. Well, I think again, as these early warning signs are happening, I think what you're speaking to is right. It kind of starts, it can potentially lead to like mental health diagnoses, right? Like clinical depression, anxiety, and people will talk about, right? Like they start to dread runs, or they start to have that constant worry of what it's going to feel like or be like, or am I going to be good enough, right? So that self-talk will really shift also. And so knowing yourself, I think with anything, to be a great athlete, no matter what level you are, it starts with that self-awareness. Like what's kind of your baseline, right? And then what are the shifts that might come and go, right? Like it's going to happen, but when they start to consistently happen, right, those should also be indicators to you that, again, the wiring is maybe off. Right? Like it's not a low battery at this point that I just need to take a weekend off or lessen my mileage, right? Something wiring is going on that isn't quite working for me. Right. And so one of the biggest things when we look at protective factors, we really always want to start with that self-awareness, right? Where is my baseline and what shifts happen? But if we start to notice the shifts happening, I always go back to your why, right? Purpose. Because what we see a lot of times with athletes, and again, this could be for medical professionals, business professionals, is their identity and their self-worth gets really tied into performance outcomes, right? And people talk about, well, especially like sport, it starts to become a job, right? Or if I don't do this equals XYZ will happen. And so kind of how your relationship with your sport, I would always start there. So it'd be self-awareness, your why are you doing this? Why is this important to you? Right. And then third, it would start to talk about what is your relationship with running. And when people start to get burned out, we see a huge shift. And then that relationship becomes very negative, and everything associated with that has a pretty negative kind of feedback loop consequence.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question or just went on 15 different tangents, but it brings up a lot.
We're still getting to the heart. We're still, you know, we're still getting, going through and working to the heart of the problem here. Right. And we're continuing to move down these symptoms that I'm sure the listener is resonating with. Right. And then that lack of joy, that you're really kind of teasing out, right? Like, and the motivation. But so much of that kind of, again, sort of keep going on the default mode network. But I know this is, it's basically this area in the brain. I forget the different structures, right? There's these three structures and it's looping around. And it's almost like when you're sitting in your monkey mind and you can't, you know, he said, she said this, and you're just like swimming and whatnot in these various different problems that you might be having. And it's looping around in this track that you can't get out of, and you can't get out of that negative mindset. And I know, again, speaking personally, that there are these strategies and these methods that you can do. There's a variety of them to get out of that default mode network. And, I just, and like, I know one of them that's probably like a crazy one. Everyone's going to think I'm a bit of a nut job, but that's okay. But it's floating. MJ knows because she goes and floats every once in a while. But it's like there's this sensory deprivation tanks, and it's basically imagine floating in Epsom salts, mm-hmm. and having everything completely black. But what studies have actually shown, and this is I forget the brain center in Oklahoma that basically it's a whole clinical setup and a research setup, but they showed that you could get out of this just through 45 minutes of floating, all these various different depressive disorders that kind of assist with that. But that's kind of like if you really need to get out of this, that monkey mind and that problem, that's one sort of solution. But there's other ones too, right? Exercise is one, being in nature and walking, these meditation, all these various methods are short-term means where you can have some power to get out of this problem, this burnout problem, ultimately, that's potentially, you know, it's happening. And every person listening is going to have a different context that they're considering here and how they got to that burnout. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. But at the end of the day, you probably have a monkey mind default mode network thing going on in the background that's contributing to this. And we need solutions to get out of this. And that's really, I guess, where I'm sort of going with the question. I'm always trying to find solutions.
Yeah. Well, an exercise I do, kind of going back to like your purpose, your why, that I'll typically do with my athletes is, just if you took a piece of paper and you wrote down, why do I do what I do, right? What do I love about it? Like when I started, why did I choose this, right? And oftentimes, so I played soccer, and one of the things I still remember, I'm retired now, but one of the things I will remind myself of is just the smell of fresh cut grass, like early morning trainings. Like I will think of that. Like that was like a protective factor for my love. Now it wasn't the only reason I played soccer, right? You can get that for a lot of others. But it was also playing under the lights was amazing. Right. Yeah. I just ran the Twin Cities Marathon in October this last year, and the energy and support of the community, like a community aspect, was wonderful. But if you take time to kind of think about, why are you doing this? What is your why? And then leave that aside. And then if you make a list to say, on average, before I go for runs, before I go do something, where does my focus go? What am I paying attention? Like, what am I paying attention to? And oftentimes when people are starting to dip into that burnout, those lists are very different. You were always going to have two lists. But this list of our why, our purpose, tends to go in the background. It's like, gosh, I haven't thought about this in a really long time because I'm focused on my time, my pace, how I look in my outfit, right? Am I going to be better? How bad is this going to hurt, right? I mean, we could all come up with those lists, but that is all that those evaluations of ourselves are going to, again, to your point, go to that feedback loop, but we miss that protective factor and actually a treatment factor for getting out.
Yep. No, I love it. And it's like, it's at the end of the day, it's like you've just described a method also to get out of your default mode network. You're changing the focus. Like I'm mm-hmm. going to smell the grass. Mm-hmm. I'm going to focus in my mind on the smell mm-hmm. of the grass that makes me happy. I'm going to focus on my why. And again, it's intent at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. that's with any of these methods to get out of your monkey mind, and get yourself back on track away from burnout, which is what we're talking about, is like, yeah, these methods that get you focusing and pointed in the right direction again, because we fall out of it at the end of the day, in this mm-hmm. depressive condition.
Right. And they've also shown a lot of research, the more success we have, sometimes as we're building confidence and trust in our bodies and our mind, there's a whole element of pressure that can come on to repeat what we have had or what we've been doing. And while that's great, that can also add a whole nother layer that can contribute to burnout. And so what we finding is, again, I keep talking protective factors, but is having an identity outside of sport, having activities, strengths of yours, because we get very tied to that, especially the more success we have, right? And then it's like, well, I ran at this pace. Why can't I do it now, right? And so that evaluation can be really hard to experience.
I'm really glad that we're going there because as perimenopause has hit me really hard, I found like last year I started slowing down and it was really eating me up because I've been quite focused on performance goals and you know, getting faster, right? I wanted to get faster and faster. And inevitably, we're going to, well, at least I met a wall and started to get slower. And it was really eating me up. So I had to start like not looking at my watch and not putting those goals, like performance goals on my calendar. And I like just signed up for some races to have fun and just to remind myself, like, you can line up without having to, you know, like try to PR every time. And just like, I just tried to like enjoy the moment of doing a race or doing an event. But yeah, it's definitely hard as we get older to not be able to run as fast as we did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And when we are, I appreciate you sharing that. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And when we are burned out, we are properly not recovered, right? And if you think about recovery as like training, which I wish we looked at it as training, not as like a, something else we have to do, but that's where hormone regulation is happens during recovery, right? That's where our memories are consolidated when we sleep and take care of ourselves. And if you're battling that position in your life as we age, that's going to make it even harder to do it. But yet we still look at ourselves oftentimes as how we used to be, which can have benefits, but it also can be really hard then when our body doesn't respond that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we feel like we did something wrong or what's wrong with us.
Right. Yeah. And then you're just like, well, is it over? Right. Like becoming like finding a new identity from a racer that always wants to get better to, yeah, I don't know. X, what is the label? I don't know. I haven't found my label yet. It's I haven't given up on the racer identity yet, but maybe it's just comes and goes, you know?
Well, and I think what you're speaking to is, right, when we talk about identity, is having a little bit of psychological flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe we don't have to necessarily be in a bucket, right? We're always evolving and growing and changing. And maybe we can have multiple labels or multiple ways that we show up and see ourselves. And with that being said, is you are still a racer, right? You can still be competitive, right? So to have those long-term goals and aspirations with the flexibility, the process to get there might look a little bit different than it did 15 years ago.
Mm. How do you tell the difference between the kind of physical, you know, not feeling recovered burnout and mental fatigue? How do you tell the difference between those two?
Well, I think I would start with, how do we look at recovery? Again, I truly believe recovery is part of training, right? And thinking really clearly to think about, okay, what does my recovery look like? And am I giving it enough kind of attention or respect that it's needed, right? Because sometimes I think that's where I would start with. And if those feel like we are checking the boxes for that, then I think it's stepping back to say, okay, what is this turned into? What is this about, right? This is not just I'm mentally zoning out because I'm tired and I have work stress and my family, right? But there are some core pieces that are pulling me away, and that can look really different for everybody. But the typical things to repair those, like fatigue, aren't working.
So what are the key things, Ali, that are gonna help help us get, recover? What's in your bucket list there for recovery?
Yeah. Well, so again, a lot of it is within your control. So I think, right, so once you can check the boxes of, is your sleep, is your nutrition, right, is your activities outside of your sport, right, are those fulfilling to you? Are we giving that the attention they deserve? Then I would say is, again, when we start to think about when we're in burnout, how do we come back, right? How do we pull ourselves out of it? One of the things that we look at is joy. And I think, Jay, you like spoke to it earlier, right? Is like, how do we have fun? I describe it as like have the Sandlot mentality. Have you guys seen that movie?
Mm-mm. No.
Nope.
Okay. It's a baseball movie, but it's basically these kids. It's a fabulous movie, by the way. And it's these kids who basically just go to the field. They're young and they just play pickup games of baseball. It's not structured. It's not regulated in any ways. They just go, they're spending time with their buddies and they just have fun. And then the movie goes into, they lose Babe Ruth's ball. So I won't spoil it for you, but they got to get it back. But I always think about how do we have this mindset, kind of like this childlike mindset of just play.
Yeah.
I have to tell you a quick story. I went for a run yesterday. It was 81 degrees here in Minnesota. And my husband was golfing. And so I took my kids to my parents. I said, Mom and Dad, we watched them for like a little bit so I can go for a run around the lake. And they were like, sure. So I was so excited, went for a run, came back. We went to the park with the kids. And at the way home, my daughter, we're driving home and she goes, Mommy, did you have fun on your run?
Aww.
And it was like one of those that caught me off guard because I did actually have a lot of fun, but I didn't think about it because I was like, okay, how do I schedule it in? I'm going to quick go as fast as I can to get back so my parents aren't watching them too long, right? And just kind of so I'll feel better. Like I knew that, but I don't know the last time I thought about, gosh, how fun is it going to be that I just get to go do this?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like it was like, it just caught me and I was like, I did have fun. And I wish we had that Sandlot more fun, more joy within that. So then I know exactly, right? So what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you go back to your why, but we know group participation. Now, most of us, my guess is, do you guys run mostly by yourself?
Yes.
Right? Usually ride by myself, but yes.
Yeah.
Run, right? I think a lot of us, they know from a lot of research, right, with group activity, we're actually going to work probably harder, right? And people rate it more enjoyable. Now, that's not always the case for us, but when you can add in other, even one other person or group run or ride or activity, that is going to help.
We have this Velocity, a partner with Athletica, the training platform that we are all part of. It's an interactive coaching session that MJ runs for us and Paul.
Amazing.
And it's just to your point, it's incredible how much we all get in terms of the energy and how much fun we have riding the same workout together in a kind of gamified atmosphere. And even though, you know, granted, it would be ideal if we were all in the same sort of room together. You almost still, it's incredible, but you actually feel like you are all together. And then we develop these relationships and it just gets better and better as we go. So to your point, that interaction of that human to human connection is so important. And that's actually also on the list of ways to get out of your DMJ. So it's really cool.
Right. Well, and again, nobody wants to be alone. And if you think about if you're in the midst of burnout, probably your mood is going to be a little bit up and down, right? Or a little bit lower. If, like I was saying, more irritable, or I think, Paul, like you were saying, grouchy, right? Yeah. Like, and so one of the best things is to have that human connection, to feel supported and to be like, gosh, I feel off today, or my legs feel so heavy, or I didn't want to be here. And now someone says, me too, right? Now you're like, gosh, I'm not alone. And right there, you are going to have like a boost in mood. So I would say, you know, I could keep going on and on, but I would add, you know, changing locations, like spicing it up is going to be really important to get out of burnout, right? So whether that is finding a new place to do your activity, and sometimes we're limited, right? Or running without a watch, like bringing joy or fun, having a mini competition potentially, you know, hey, let's try to get this many runs in this week or this many mileage, and at the end we'll get a prize, right? There is rewards, reward systems work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think ultimately we want to come back to that intrinsic motivation. But while we're healing and getting there and building that trust back with our relationship with running or cycling or any endurance sport that we have for that matter, I think we want to use any resource that we can.
100%. Like, I just went to Norway to visit. Norway is my home in my heart. That's where I feel like I belong. So just going to Norway felt so much better. But normally here in Texas, I train alone. And the environment is not ideal. It's super flat, hot, humid, like none of those things I enjoy. So just changing the environment was so good for me. But then also training together with my friends, we went to one of the mountains and went for a cross-country ski session up in the mountains. It's just gorgeous, beautiful, above the tree line. And we had so much fun. We were just talking, and suddenly one of us were just jumping off because we were like off the tracks. They hadn't done the tracks yet because it was snowy earlier or whatever. And so we just played in the nature with cross-country skis, just jumping off and just having fun. And then on the way down, we suddenly just busted a move, just dancing on the skis. And it was just epic, like so much more fun. Like, and we talked about anything, like between death and just having fun. It was so powerful for my mental health to experience. Like, it was a perfect day for me. Just changing the environment and, you know, being social while moving is so, so potential.
Yeah. Well, I think you even speak to, it wasn't even about the activity necessarily, right? Yeah. It goes back to that connection with yourself and the people you were with. And just like having a lightness. And I think all of us could probably use that a little bit more in everything we do in life. I think we'd all be not only improve performance, but it'd be a heck of a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
Allie, you talked earlier about kind of three things that help with the process, you know, self-awareness, purpose or your why, and relationship with sport. Can you talk more about the self-awareness and what you meant by that?
Yeah. Well, and I'll give you, to add to that, I'll give you a couple more strategies to use also. But I think in anything, we need to have, again, this baseline of where our mind is at, where our body's at in order to stay safe, right? And I think emotionally, that's the same thing. And so when I talk to coaches, when I talk to athletes about kind of their pre and post training or competition experience, having some, I don't know, just questions for yourself, like, how am I feeling today? Where's my focus, right? And sometimes too, some people like numerics, right? On a 1 to 10 scale, right? And not only just like, how did I do the performance outcome base of it, but the processes, right? Did I feel engaged? Did I feel committed to what I was doing? And so I think that kind of almost like self-check-in, and that can be from thoughts, emotions, sensations, and then also physically, I think would be a great way to start. And I always like a technique I really like is like a 1 to 2 minute body scan. Have you guys, it's tied into the realm of mindfulness and being in the present moment without judgment for ourselves, right? To kind of accept what is true for me right now. But our mind really gets that like blurry sometimes because we have judgment and we don't like it and we don't want it, right? But it is here. And the people that have the ability to stay there typically do the best. And so to start to train that is this body scan where you kind of, you can start at the top of your head and you would just shut your eyes for 1 to 2 minutes and you're just describing and checking in. Okay, how does the top of my head feel? Okay, what about my temples? Is there any tension? Is there any stress? And I always like to think about like you have like a colored marker. So maybe you pick blue, right? And any stress, I'm going to kind of color in. Okay, I'm feeling like a little stress right here. I'm going to like color it in my mind, right? And you go down my jaw. Well, most of us are going to probably carry some tension in our jaw. And for a lot of women, we'll carry it in our shoulders and our necks. Right. And so if we just had you go through each of your body coloring in, it's just checking in what you need. So then it's okay before my run, maybe I have to stretch a little bit more, warm up, or I'm going to be really intentional about my breath during my run to kind of give it to my shoulders to release them. Right. So now we're doing some preventative work, but also some mindfulness to get out if we are maybe feeling very tense and we weren't even aware of it. Kind of like if you get home at the end of the night, have you guys like got home and you're like, oh my gosh, I have such a bad headache. And you're like, how? And probably it was like building throughout the day, but we're so busy, we don't notice it.
Yeah.
Like, has that happened to you guys?
Oh yeah.
Right. That's probably lack of awareness of our mental and physical like being.
Yep.
So I would say that, that self-awareness. And then I would say this ties into goal setting, right? Is are we appropriately setting goals? One, based out of our values, what's important to us, right? And then also, are they attainable on that given day or week? And I think this can be really challenging for high-level athletes to be able to have that flexibility to potentially shift or adjust. Because, nope, this is what my training log says. I have to hit this today, right? And maybe because of whatever reason, you may not be able to. And allowing yourself some wiggle room while also pushing yourself to stay accountable, right? I think that's a really hard balance. But that always starts with that self-awareness.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, Allie. And, yeah, I think of the Athletica listener here that's got their Athletica program in there. And we have this really cool feature in the platform called the Workout Wizard, because exactly, you should have that awareness. And if the context changes and you need something a little bit different, you shouldn't be scared about changing the plan. And the wizard gives you viable options to change your plan to keep doing potentially something. And that includes right down to meditation and, you know, self-awareness, kind of like what you're describing. So yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's, you know, from my own coaching practice, that's actually something I'm always trying to teach my athletes so that they're empowered. It's just teaching awareness, right? Teaching them feel, and, you know, and because the more you can actually empower that athlete about their own personal awareness, the more they're empowered in any given context, in any given moment, to make the right choice and not be scared to make that choice or make that change and trust themselves. So love that point.
Well, can I add to one thing you just said that I love? And the research backs it up with autonomy. So when people feel like they have a say or an influence in their training, in what's happening, and part of that starts with awareness, they actually comply more. They're actually better at what they do, right? And it builds trust and confidence within themselves to say, I can make this decision, right? So, wow, you're going to tell me what to do, and that's why I hired you, and this is great, but I also am going to have some influence.
Mm, yeah.
Right? It's such a protective factor for burnout also.
Yeah, for sure. And you just think of, if you've got that combo, just think of how much more powerful your training program has now become, and that, you know, or how much more effective you are at making the right progress if you've developed that that self-awareness and the confidence to make those changes, and imagine having a plan that's, you know, flexible enough to be able to help you with your confidence in making those changes, though, and you know, you're moving the right way. You're moving forward in the right direction, as opposed to just doing whatever the plan says, because it, you know, doing something because it says something. When you know deep down inside that little man or woman inside is saying that doesn't feel right today. That's, you know, you got to learn to trust that and make those calls, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I give you a lot of credit for just giving your athletes space to have that discussion and discover that. Right. Again, you're truly working as a team. And I always think you're kind of working as a team with your mind too. You can either fight against it, or it can kind of be an ally for you. You might not always like what it's telling you or your body's, right? But it's your relationship with yourself is the longest and most strongest relationship you will ever have in your whole life. And so how we're treating ourselves, right? And responding, giving it space to have these discussions, and then coaches like you, right? That's prime for optimal performance and enjoyment.
Yeah, I believe so.
So let's say we're feeling burned out, and it sounds like it's not necessarily a clinical definition, but it's kind of a sliding scale. Like we're feeling this way, and it's developing, it's getting there. But how can we how can we come back without feeling like we're relapsing and coming and falling back on the things that we used to do? How do we prevent relapse, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say what you want to start with is probably really clear, almost expectations. And this is a hard one. Right? What your goals, what your expectations are, because oftentimes those can be not aligned. And so really thinking through, what is that gradual progression back? Because ultimately, coming back from burnout, just like an injury, the number one thing is safety, like psychological and physical safety. So it's rebuilding that trust. I think I've said it multiple times today, but rebuilding that trust with yourself that you're going to be okay, that you've learned, right? And that now you have the opportunity to do things different or to see things differently. And you're better equipped, right, to see those red flags. So I do think allowing yourself time to rebuild and grow back is going to be really important, which will influence goal setting, right? What you're able to add on as you reengage in your sport. I think the other thing is probably some acceptance that fear, doubt, worry, questioning, wondering, overanalyzing, probably not if, but when it will show up, right? Like normalizing that is part of this like reintegration process. And then I would say the last thing is it's all about consistency, right? As we get back, it's not about intensity. It's not about PRing. It's about consistent. Because again, we are going to rebuild that confidence and trust in yourself and your body to get back to where you want to be. And I do think when we recover well, we can actually be better athletes than we were before, if we've taken that time to learn and grow.
Well said.
So you think we could become better athletes because we go through that process? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I want you to think about a hard race you guys have had. And when you think about that hard race, maybe not the next day or the day after that, but maybe some weeks, months down the road, was that a game changer in how you did something moving forward? Did it influence any type of approach, training, recovery to change something?
Right? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want an example?
Yes, that would be great.
So 2024, I trained for Ironman Texas, and then 4 months after Ironman World Champs, not only is Texas very, very hot during summer, so I was doing heat training by running, which was mentally really, really hard because I hate heat. And I did all my long bike rides on the trainer inside, and it was so boring, but I told myself, you can do it, like, you're a tough cookie, like, you will get through this, like, you know, like, I can hype myself up doing crazy 6 hour rides, 6.5 hour rides inside. But there was no balance. And I took the choice of understanding that there is no balance when you're doing these big things and something has to go. And I think, like, afterwards, I would, like, if I were to do that again, I would definitely go seek other training environments more than just, you know, maybe I would run indoors a little bit more. Maybe I would actually travel and get some, you know, outdoor rides in, other than stay inside for 6-7 hours.
So that experience has, like, fundamentally changed your approach and how you're going to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, right. I would say I would never do a 6.5 hour ride inside again, ever. Those days are over.
But how would you know that if you didn't experience that, right? Yeah. So if we tie this back to burnout, I think there's a lot of opportunity to see this as almost feedback to ourselves of what's working and what's not working.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm a nature lover. Like, I love being outside. So just, like, pushing against that during those months were like, what am I doing? Like, why? So, yeah. So I think that took some of the joy and enjoyment out of my training. And it took me a long time to, you know, wanting to get back on the bike.
Yeah. They have a saying, where we find pain, we find our values.
Yeah, for sure. And to me, it's the other key thing it's speaking to and going down these routes that you just described one, MJ, is like, you're developing wisdom, whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're all on a journey, and there's no right or wrong decisions that you've made. It's just, you know, you've learned from all of them. So, yeah. And I think the other really important point that MJ made here was around balance. And, you know, I keep going back to the default mode network, DMN. And I just, you know, I just had to, you know, kind of had to quickly review what it is. And it's just for clarity on the podcast here, this is a set of interconnected brain regions that are active during rest and inward focused thought. Essentially, when you're not engaging in a demanding or external task. So if you are engaging in a task, whether it's exercise, whether it's the mindfulness stuff that Ali was talking about, you know, you are, yeah, that kind of, it both contributes to the depression and potentially the chronic fatigue that Ali's talking about, but it also, it's also very important for reflection and thinking and all these sorts of things. And back to MJ's point, it's about balance, and you kind of have to, you can't have too much of these 6 hour rides. That's, you know, you're risking, a lot of stuff that's potentially going to be too much in a loop. Right. And, but, you know, going like, yeah, so it's just like, I think it just kind of comes back to balance, and you got to have those reflection things, but make sure you get out of it sometimes as well.
Ali, what have we missed about this discussion about burnout? What have we not talked about?
Well, I would say, you know, as a couple things popped up in my head. When we're burned out, our perception of how hard something is, of our effort putting in, gets really skewed. And so sometimes, again, having an accountability partner or checking in with ourselves that, okay, I feel like I'm really exerting a lot in it's a lens, or it's like a cloud, a haze that goes over us. So we sometimes don't see things as clearly. And so I think sometimes, again, that goes back to that awareness of where do we start and is there a change that happens, right? Because in any endurance sport, discomfort will show up, right? And the best athletes are the ones that almost make space for that discomfort, whether that's heaviness, thoughts that maybe are not our favorite thoughts, right? But it's creating space for that while still staying committed to what's important to us, or again, our why, right? And again, that sounds great in theory, but it's really hard to do, especially if we have kind of dug that hole. So I would say that would be another piece to have the listeners remind themselves of. And then I would say my last component would be, I might be diverting a little bit off of burnout, but I do think talking about fear and fear of failure and what can show up for people can definitely exacerbate burnout. And the pressure that comes with fear and what failure means, whether that's not hitting a pace, a placement in a competition, losing to someone that you've been training with. So really having some kind of respect of how we're looking at that, but not putting that on a pedestal where it can kind of dictate, like be in control of us, of what we do or do not do, right? Kind of bringing that back to the autonomy of why is it important to us, and still having the opportunity to do something really, really cool that a lot of people are not doing.
Yep. Tough one. Tough one. That darn ego of ours, we just, you know, it's never satiated and we always want to fill it. But, you know, I know as MJ and I have been chatting about, as we age, you've got to, as we get older, we have to kind of, reset our expectations. And if we do, I think we're going to be better off. And, but it's not easy because the ego just can't be satiated.
But even how you're kind of like having some humor with it, I think that can be a protective factor and a tool we can use to kind of make light of situations, even though maybe that is, those comments are probably heavier than we know, right? But using humor is also a way to, and again, it sounds like MJ, you did that wonderfully with your group, to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a really important theme, Ellie, you've made throughout, and then you keep going back to it. It's joy, right? Like, we got to be enjoying the life that we have and the training that we're doing. And I think we're. And if you're tuning into this podcast, you're questioning that. And so make sure you go and get that, everyone, listeners, because it's. Life is short and it's meant to be lived, and there should be as much joy as we can put in it. Like your daughter reminded you, Ellie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today and bringing the joy to us, and we appreciate your presence.
Thank you. I appreciate you having this discussion, and we can all probably relate to and hopefully prevent going down that spiral.
Thank you for listening today to the Athlete's Compass podcast. Take a moment now, subscribe, share, and let's keep navigating this endurance adventure together. Improve your training with the science-based training platform Athletica and join the conversation at the Athletica Forum. For Dr. Ali Wagner, Mariana Rakai, and Dr. Paul Larson, I'm Paul Warlowski, and this has been the Athlete's Compass podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed another episode of the Athlete's Compass podcast, your North Star through the sometimes complicated world of training for your endurance sport. We appreciate your comments and training questions and your 5-star reviews. For a deeper dive into the science of endurance sports, listen to the Training Science Podcast and check out the adaptive AI training platform athletica.ai. Thanks for listening.